Which would be worse? To live as a monster? Or to die as a good man?
Everybody, welcome back to Milkshakes Markets Madness, the show about the dollar, the show about the monetary system, and sometimes the show about Brent Johnson. And in fact, what we're about to do here is introduce a new segment that I'm very excited about called WWJD, What Would Johnson Do? And we're going to have some fun with this, but we are also going to, I think, get a lot of value out of bringing the community in. We're encouraging you to ask questions that kind of fit the footprint that you're about to hear me present to Brent, but it's more of a one or the other type of thing. Hey, Brent, would you rather have a pet goat or a pet llama? Hey, Brent, who are the two people that, you know, in the history of the world that you would want to have lunch with? So those types of questions, we encourage you to present them to us. To kick this one off, I think this is a question that everyone in the Milkshakes Markets Madness world will appreciate. Brent, if you were given the opportunity to have $100 million or 50,000 ounces of gold, which currently a dollar value is about the equivalent, and you had to hold those for 5 years, which would you choose and why?
Well, that's actually, you know, at 5 years, it's a fairly easy decision. I take gold. And there's a couple of reasons. Because number one, I don't know where I'll be in 5 years, but I know wherever I am, gold will be accepted. So that's number one. Number two, you know, who knows what the hell happens with a fiat currency in that time? Dollar could be dominant in 5 years or it could be gone in 5 years. But gold will still be around. So to me, it's just such a sure thing. It might not still be worth $100 million, but it would still have a hell of a lot of value 5 years from now. Now, if you said 1 year from now, that would be a very difficult choice. I would probably still go with gold just because, again, it's kind of a sure thing, but that makes it much more difficult to answer. I think anybody with any sense of history knows that over time, governments manipulate their currencies, the value of fiat tends to fall, and, you know, gold has done a very good job of holding its you know, value over that time period. If you were to ask me Bitcoin, I'd probably say dollars, which I know is going to drive some people absolutely freaking crazy. And listen, it's possible that Bitcoin goes up another, you know, 10,000,000% versus the dollar over 5 years. But again, it might be gone as well. So anyway, that's my answer.
You know, it's interesting. I can't remember the episode. I'll try to dig around and find it. It was earlier this year, I think Q1 sometime. We had talked about, who knows, dollar milkshake theory in some form or another. But I had pushed back or proposed the question to you about timelines because you had talked about, oh, this is a 5 to 10 year thing. But that 5 to 10 year plan, initially when you're, you know, kind of coming to terms with all these factors, started in 2014. So it's interesting now hearing you say this because you're kind of taking that position or making that decision based on the fact that you think we're in the latter chapters of how this thing plays out.
Yeah, you know, when I first really, really got deep into the weeds of the monetary system, it started kind of in the late 2000s, really got deep into it, kind of 2012 to 2014. 2014 is when the dollar made a move that I just didn't understand and when I really started to dig in. And it really wasn't until 2018 where I really kind of started to generate a thesis surrounding all that stuff I had learned. And in 2018-19, I said, I think it'll be another 4 or 5 years. Well, it's been another 4 or 5 years. You know, it's kind of gone my way, but not to the extent that I thought it would. And so, you know, it's just, it's one of these things with markets and macro. It always takes longer than you think it will. And, you know, the whole, you know, the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent, all that kind of stuff. But I think it also, you know, it kind of goes to the, again, I don't like it and I don't necessarily support it, but you kind of got to give the central banks and the monetary authorities credit for their ability to keep these plates spinning. You know, I remember when I said 5 years in 2018, I thought I was being fairly generous with the timeline, but, you know, they're able to just keep kicking this thing down the road. So I'm not going to sit here and say they can't do it for another 5 years. It's hard to see it going more than another 10, but, you know, that's why you got to play the game. I don't, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, and also in recent conversations, you made the point to clarify what risk-free means, and that risk-free is not that you're going to get your the same value back, and that there's not going to be a change in the value of that asset's price, specifically speaking bonds and U.S. Treasury bonds. But the point of the risk-free is that you're guaranteed to get your money back. So it's interesting the way that you framed your answer here, because what you're actually really saying is that in your mind, at least over the next 5 years, gold is really the risk-free investment that, you know, you would take if you had really pick anything, not just the two I gave you.
Yeah. And again, this is something that I've really kind of had to come to terms with over the last 15 years as I've really just kind of dug into the, you know, the whole what is money issue to begin with and the different types of monetary systems. And, you know, in a free market that where everybody's just free to choose what they transact in and there's, you know, competing different forms of money, I believe gold would rise to the top and be what the market chose as money. But the reality is that's not the world we live in. And the world has, we've never been in that. Even in cases where we've been on a gold standard, we've been on a gold standard because that's what the governments wanted us to be on. So even though it was a decision that the market agreed with it, it was still kind of a fiat decree. And I don't anticipate a time, at least when I'm alive, where we will have a free market where the market is totally free to choose what it wants. I think governments and, you know, powerful entities are always going to try to influence the market. And, you know, I think they are going to, you know, demand their, that at least their wants and desires to try to be implemented into the market. It doesn't mean that they won't fail. But the idea that they're just going to step back after all they've done for centuries, literally centuries, and then all of a sudden just say, yeah, you guys can just use whatever you want. I think that's extremely naive. And so then you get into the timeframes, right? Like over what time frame can they continue to implement their will and their force on the market? And at what point will the market overpower them? And, you know, people have literally been writing newsletters since the 70s saying that the free market is going to overpower, you know, the fiat diktats of the government. And that's literally 50 years ago. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that, literally 50 years ago. So, you know, for me to sit here and say that they can't do it another five, that would be pretty naive, right? When the people back in the 70s were saying they couldn't do it for another five, and then they did it 10 times that long. So I think it's really important to kind of understand philosophically kind of how things work and understand that in a free market, gold is probably the risk-free rate. But then you also have to play within the rules of the game because there are referees out there, right? You might not like it, but this isn't the playground, right? There are referees saying this is, you know, you fouled or you didn't foul or you went out of bounds or you didn't go out of bounds. And yeah, that's good or that's not good. And so, you know, I would love to just be playing on the playground where we get to make up all our own rules. That's not the world in which I actually operate. So
one of my favorite episodes that we've done together is it's entitled Fiat Fairy Tales. And I took a clip from that and it's called Prisoners of the System. It's one of the three clips associated with our Start Here playlist. And it really goes a little deeper into kind of what you're just hinting at, that there's these rules to the game and overall, you know, understanding that this is how the system works and you can have your pile of gold and that risk-free asset. But in the meantime, you got to play within the rules. And who would have thought that this new segment, WWJD, would give you an opportunity, the dollar guy, to actually show your true colors as the gold guy. And one of the things, too, that I want to highlight and give you a chance to speak on is despite the fact that you understand the reality is that the diktats are going to eventually try to, until they no longer can, influence the market with their will. Because of that, and because you don't think central banks and governments are going to give up the power to control their own currency and print it at will and inflate their debts away, all of that being said, you've said many times that you do not think that gold, well, not that you don't think, but you think it's very low probability that any of these countries will eventually make their currency gold back. But despite that, you still think the price of gold could rise.
Yeah, I mean, the ironic thing about kind of being known as the dollar guy is that at heart, I'm kind of a gold bug, you know, and the reason I'm a gold bug is like at the heart, I'm a free market capitalist. And that's what I would like the system to be. I kind of had to come to terms with the fact that that's not the system that we actually have, right? And part of the reason that I have pounded the table on the dollar as hard as I have is that I know a lot of people in the gold world. I've met a number of investors who are invested in gold at conferences, you know, at different events that I've been to. And both the people that work in the industry and the people that invest in the industry, I think, are some of the most well-intentioned, hardworking, and, you know, trying to do good in the world people I've ever met. And so I have tremendous respect for them. And however, right, and it's because I feel that way about them that I actually want to help them. And I want to give them, I don't know, I don't want to use the word good because that's for other people to determine, but some more well-rounded advice maybe is the right way to say it, to help them get through the path that eventually leads to the end game. Because I feel like in some ways they've been caught in this system, not this system, but in the gold system that, you know, just they're going to wake up tomorrow and fiat's going to be gone and gold is going to be at $50,000 and they're going to be flying around in private jets and everybody else is going to be poor. And I just don't think that's the way it's going to go. And so trying to get them to understand that you can be both a gold bug and understand that gold in a free market kind of underlies everything, and also understand that, you know, to get to that end game that you think is paradise, you're going to have to traverse the dangerous paths of the fiat world. You know, I want to help them understand that path along through the fiat world, because I think a lot of people are going to get blown up before they get to that paradise, right? And so it's kind of ironic that this is what it's become. But you know, and the other reason that I focus on the dollar as much as I do is I literally think it is the single most important variable in understanding what happens with the overall global markets. I don't think you can get everything totally wrong on the dollar and then get everything else right on the markets. I think if you get the dollar right, or at least understand how it works and how it affects the global economy, you have at least a little advantage over everybody else in what's going to happen in global markets.
Yeah, look, I mean, the thing I want to circle back on, which I was hoping for you to address in that question, I mean, what you said was excellent and very necessary to point out. But the thing that you've highlighted, I think somewhat sporadically, although I think it's always been a very profound statement for me when I first heard you say it, is that you kind of are this gold bug, like you said, but you're a realist, and a realist in the sense of, you know, people don't give up power once they have it. Despite that, despite the fact that governments are not going to give up the power to control their money, so the... You still think gold, hey, can reach something like $5,000 an ounce. But I really want to focus on the question I'm asking you, the point I'm making, which you have made, is that it's going to happen despite them. It's not suddenly gold, yeah, isn't going to reach $5,000 because it becomes money. It's the government or the markets are finally going to reject the, you know, profligacy of these governments.
Yeah. And listen, is it possible that governments, you know, all of a sudden become these altruistic institutions that are, you know, populated by well-intentioned people? Sure, it's possible, right? I put that very low down on the probability list, but it's possible. So I'm not going to say that gold can't become money officially. I just think it's extremely, extremely low probability that it does. And the, you know, to your question, the point I've tried to make is that gold will go to 5,000 or maybe higher, not because governments get smart and do something good, but because they do something foolish and fail, right? That their failure is what's going to lead to gold going higher, not, you know, these BRICS countries getting together and pulling off some super strategic, you know, plan that they've hatched, and it's not going to come because, you know, Biden or Trump or whoever it is decides all of a sudden we want to have a gold-backed currency.
Awesome, Brent. Well, I appreciate it. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the first episode edition of WWJD. We look forward to you commenting, sharing your thoughts on this conversation specifically, as well as sharing some questions, if-thens, one of the others type of proposals that we, Brent and I, can discuss in this segment. So thanks again, Brent, and we look forward to seeing everybody soon.
I love gold. The look of it, the taste of it, the smell of it, the texture.
This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice.
Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.